The next case on our calendar, 0544, Knox County Commissioners versus the Knox County Engineer. Mr. Liggett.
Thank you, Your Honor. I ask to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time.
Thank you. I have with me our Knox County Engineer, Jim Henry, Amicus Counsel Roger Sabo for the Ohio Contractors Association, and Amicus Counsel Fred Vero with the County Engineers Association of Ohio. Today's case centers around giving vitality to the constitutional provision that says when we have highway monies, they're used for highway purposes. The secondary issue is to give due deference to the county engineer's exercise of his discretion when he decides that a particular expenditure is not for that highway purpose, and in upholding his constitutional duty under his oath to say we're not going to spend it for something otherwise.
I'm sorry. Brief correctly, so correct me if I'm wrong, but are you conceding that if the commissioners had just assessed the amount for your department and said only two-thirds under 315.12 has to be paid, would you be here today?
Yes, we would, Your Honor, because that actually is the commissioner's argument, not the engineer's argument.
Okay, so to you're us, maintaining zero, you owe zero under the highway dollars.
The key constitutional test is it a highway purpose?
Okay.
Is expending that paperclip? In the Grandel case, the Madden case, all of those cases say we must strictly adhere to, are we spending this dollar for a highway purpose?
And you are arguing that protecting the assets, the employees from liability, buying all this insurance protect them, does not fall under highway purpose?
Well, I would distinguish, such as in the Madden case, if, in fact, the commissioners had said, we're buying insurance for workers on your highway, then Engineer Henry would say, you're right, that's a highway purpose, you can pay that. And that is the Madden case where it's kind of glossed over a lot, but the entire case centered around health insurance premiums for highway workers.
So liability protection for negligence lawsuits, even if it protects that individual highway worker, you say is a different category?
I say it's different for two reasons in this case. Number one, there's never been a risk assessment that it had anything to do with highway liability. Never. Number two, the choice the commissioners made was not to buy insurance. They have that the authority under 274408 to say buy insurance. They also have authority under that to say, for our county, we're not going to buy insurance, but we'll have cash reserves to protect county assets. When someone sues the county, they do not sue the county engineer. They sue the county. When they sue for damages, their damages are not restricted to what's left in the highway funds. It's county assets we're protecting with the liability pool. The county did something different entirely. They looked at a different statute, 2744.081, that says we can join with 62 other counties and just put cash reserves up to make sure, you know, if Medina County has a loss for a sheriff's car, then Knox County's premium will cover that.
Well, should we look at whether or not there's a pro-rata distribution of the $23,000 involved here for highway workers and have an assessment or have some court make a determination about that in this case?
If the county or Corsa could say, Mr. Henry, that portion of your premium based on risk assessment,
yes,
and loss experience, which is the statutory criteria, go to highway liability, we would probably exercise Mr. Henry's discretion. He would exercise discretion and say, okay. The problem with a liability pool is that the funds are all commingled. There is no risk experience or loss experience possible because they just dump this cash in and say, okay, you know, Lucas County has this and we'll pay out that this year and next year.
But isn't that the purpose of 315.12 for cost of operation? Because it's so hard to say this exact dollar goes to the highway for that employee and this exact dollar goes to maybe doing the mapping, and so we're going to make an assessment because the Constitution gives us the right to, by statute, to do so. I mean, that's the engineer's department. What's your argument against that? Because it says by statute we can make provisions on the highway funds, and they're saying that's the authority they have to tell you that you have to contribute.
I'm glad you asked that question. There are some 24 sections in Ohio statute that say highway purpose. Why then does 315.12 not mention the phrase? Because it was enacted before the constitutional provision, 9 years. And it was enacted for the specific purpose of freeing up money from the county to pay for other than highway purposes. And there's another important aspect about the fact that 315.12 doesn't say highway purpose at all. It only says that you must spend at least two-thirds from that highway fund. Now, once we get to that two-thirds level with the highway fund, 315.12 is irrelevant. It doesn't say in there you have to spend 100%, and it doesn't say the county commissioners can make you spend 100%. And that is their request for relief. If you look in their brief, which was not what the Court of Appeals or the trial court said, it asked that this court declare that 315.12 mandates that they can say 100% has to come from the highway funds. That's not what the statute says.
I know this, Mr. Lee, I know this is where it's legal issues here, but the context of this case, I guess, is that the county commissioners have paid the fee into the fund and had done that for some years, I guess, since the fund was created. And I take it that some financial issues with the county, which almost all counties have, with allocating their funds, county commissioners decided that we think the engineer, we ought to tap this engineer's highway fund to reimburse. So we're talking about reimbursement from the county engineer, are we not?
That's right, and that's a critical distinction. In fact, AMICUS, the Contractors Association, points out that the voters of Ohio recently passed Article 8, Roman 2I, to provide specifically new revenues for highway purposes. The theory the county commissioners offer is, well, now that we don't have money for other things, we'll go back multiple years and say, you know, we spent general revenue money on a street, I remember, in 1969. Let's take those highway monies. That's what they've asked to do. Their release specifically says to ask them for a mandatory injunction ordering the engineer to exercise his discretion to pay highway funds for non-highway reimbursement.
That sounds like a mandamus case to me.
It really, Your Honor, should have been filed as a mandamus.
Really a mandamus.
It is not. They filed it as a declaratory judgment mandatory injunction, but the real relief that they're asking for is to order the engineer to exercise his discretion, and here's the kicker, in a particular way. And, of course, that fails the mandamus requirement.
Isn't it, you didn't make this argument, I didn't think I read any of the briefs, that in 5A, the constitutional provision, which is where we have to start, it seems to me, the mm-hmm. Court of Appeals didn't help us with 13 pages
no,
of citation, just copied statutes without interruption. I never saw a brief or opinion
pages.
Like that, 12
yeah.
pages. Incredible opinion. But anyway, the 5A has a series of activities for which the funds may be paid, construction, reconstruction, you know what they are, maintenance and repair, and then the catch-all, other statutory highway purposes. Mm-hmm. There's some Latin rule that says that when there are a series of items in a statute, that when there's a general sort of catch-all phrase, that is limited by the specific items that are in the provision. Here it's a constitutional provision. I didn't see that in your argument, but isn't that an argument that you could make that here the other side, of course, the appellees are arguing, well, that means that the General Assembly can identify those other statutory highway purposes, and almost seems to me without limit. But are they not limited? Is the General Assembly not limited by the words of the statute, the context of that sort of catch-all phrase?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And we did make that argument in this context. Grandel v. Rhodes, this court already has answered that and says it must be strictly construed to highway purposes. And you start with, the first test is, does the legislature say, well, we want this to be spent, this is a highway purpose, paperclips or the county courthouse. I don't think that we could, in theory, challenge that statutory enactment if it was not in fact a highway purpose. We never have to reach that in this case today. Grandel v. Rhodes says it has to be strictly construed to a highway purpose. There's nothing in any of the statutes the commissioners cite, whether it's the insurance or the liability pool or 315.12, that even uses the phrase highway purpose. None of those statutes have a concern with that. And here's another practical, it kind of goes to Justice Stratton's question before, that can he build a road without a liability pool? Well, can he build a road without liability insurance? And the answer, county commissioners have said yes. They chose not to buy insurance. They do not buy or own insurance for the county, Knox County. They pooled their resources, cash resources, to do a liability reserve. And the statute expressly says in 2744081E, this is not insurance. This is not regulated by the Department of Insurance. It's a cash pool. Can he build a road without insurance? The county commissioners have answered in the affirmative. So how do we meet the Grandel v. Rhodes test that this is about roads? We don't. We get no statutory authority from any of the statutes they've cited, even in their request for relief or the appellate briefs. We move then to the...
Let me ask along that same line then. If he chooses to go bare and the county says, you own up your share, so we're taking you out of our pool, okay? Because they can do that, can't they?
No, they cannot.
Why can they not?
Because the party defendant for liability is the county. It is the county's
and
commission.
And that is my second point. If you don't go with, you have no insurance, mm-hmm. and you're sued, and you get a judgment against you, does that judgment come out of the highway fund, or does that come out of the general?
It comes out of the general fund. That's the point, the
so
liability.
So you can choose to go bare because you don't want to pay your share, because for you there's no harm, no foul. There's no liability, there's no payment.
Well, the county's paid it. They haven't.
Correct.
Isn't it? This is factually, just so I understand it, because I thought the county has paid the fee and they're trying to get it back from the engineer's highway fund. Isn't that the
correct. And in answers of
but that
Justice
Stratton. Mine's a different question. Mine is
related.
If you choose not to participate, the county still pays the price for any malfeasance on the part of the highway.
But the county also owns the highway garage. The county also owns the truck. It's the county's responsibility, for instance, to provide court personnel. It's the county's requirement and duty as commissioners to provide a courthouse. So it's the county's decision whether or not to buy insurance. What did they decide? They decided not to buy insurance. They decided to go bare. They decided to put a cash reserve together. And because they decided it wasn't economical to do it by themselves, they joined with other counties.
But, Council, they cannot exclude a countywide office holder that maintains an office from that coverage. In other words, they cannot carve out an exception and say, the county will defend and this fund will apply to any liabilities that are proven in a court of law, except for those that are where the engineer is the basis, the activity occurring in the engineer's office is the basis for our exposure.
Absolutely correct. And that's the reason why they've been paying the premium, because
sure.
the engineer's not liable. It's the county as the public subdivision that is the entity that is sued. It is their duty to defend, just like the prosecutor is the lawyer for all of them. It is the engineer's duty and discretion to determine what is a highway purpose. And when he exercised that discretion, you know, another question to ask, just as a practical matter, is how come they haven't just taken the money? Because the auditor has asked the engineer to exercise his discretion and sign off on the bill, and he said no.
Well, Council, the source of funding for the engineer's office, explain that to me. Is it mm-hmm. in addition to these highway tax dollars or the gasoline tax dollars, there is also general revenue money that goes to the county engineer?
Yes, this court has repeatedly held that the county engineer has more than highway purposes. Tax map
right,
is the
right.
real obvious. To me, a great hypothetical is if you're going to build a new county courthouse, in that year it might cost, you know, several million dollars. How are you ever going to make a two-thirds argument when that's clearly not a highway purpose? The two-thirds statute predates the Constitution and effectually can never be followed or reconciled in certain situations. In fact, the amicus for the Engineers Association made the comment in his amicus that if you actually add up the highway expenditures versus the general budget of the engineer today, it's 82%. So we've met the two-thirds criteria.
But Mr. Liggett, let me just ask you,
yeah.
get around to what we're doing here. What is the rule of law that you want written here? We understand the engineer's money is to be segregated for highway purposes,
mm-hmm.
but that seems to be a given reading the Constitution. So what do we write here other than correcting a mistake made by the Court of Appeals?
Well,
what is the rule that you are seeking us to promulgate in the Knox County versus the Knox County engineer case?
I would ask for two findings. Number one, that the Court of Appeals was wrong in saying that it's even relevant as to whether CORSA is a cost of operation. That's not the test. Constitutionally, it says highway purpose. That's the key. And so I would ask you to ratify that the Constitution is premier. Number two is when the engineer exercises his discretion to say, that's not a highway purpose, the proper test is now we're into the routine that you hear every day in government tests. It is an abuse of discretion to standard. Did he abuse his discretion in determining what a highway purpose
is? Does it make any difference that this is a reimbursement, as you pointed out in response to the chief's question, as opposed to a prospective expenditure?
Well, I think it makes a huge difference in their remedy because I don't think this court ever reaches that issue. They have no authority to reach back to years of previous appropriations. So could they go back to 1959 and say, you know, we didn't have highway funds back then. Let's just take the new bonds that the state voters have said for highway. We'll use it for reimbursing the 1959 highway costs. They have no statutory authority to do that. None.
On the discretion issue, you hit that pretty hard in your brief. I assume the General Assembly could adopt legislation that would say these are highway funds.
Yes.
These are whatever the technical language is. Could it not?
Yes, and
they could limit the discretion of the county engineer.
Yes, and the question then has to be asked: why, in the course of funding, didn't they just do that? Yeah. No, they didn't, did they?
Now the engineer is paid out of these funds, isn't he?
There is a specific statute that the legislature said pay it all out of it, but that was, again, a determination that it's highway purpose. In fact, he has many non-highway functions.
To run the entire offices.
Run the entire office.
And that's all covered by statute.
It is for his particular salary, but you get into this court has, you know, here's, I guess, the practical issue, too. For 60 years, we've been debating these things. If it's not CORSA today, it's going to be paperclips tomorrow. And that's why the discretion issue is important. This is an independent elected official. In the words of Brendan Sullivan, he's not a potted plant. But we can't just strip him of any authority to make any determination about running his office. And otherwise, every time some budgeting authority wants to use this pot of money, tomorrow it's the new funds.
So the bottom line really is that he can use the money for paperclips, whatever. But the county commissioners should pay for the insurance to cover highway workers, et cetera.
If the county bought insurance for highway workers, he would exercise his discretion to say, yes, that's highway purpose. They did not do that. Mm-hmm. If he did not exercise his discretion, then the challenge would be he abused his discretion. What they did instead was not buy insurance for highway workers at all.
Well, counsel, if they were a bigger county or if they were just gutsy little Knox County and said, we're not buying insurance and we're not being in an insurance pool. And a highway worker goes out and negligently causes injury to someone else and there's a suit and there's recovery. Could the commissioners say, you know, that accident happened in the course of maintaining the roads or plowing the snow or whatever that county highway worker was doing? And so, engineer, pay up.
Yes, they could, and he would say, yes, it is, or no, it isn't. And if they don't agree with his exercise of discretion, they would challenge him on abuse. But I would, in that case, I would say, yes, that is an appropriate use of the constitutional funds. That's the Madden case for health insurance on highway workers. But what the county didn't do, they didn't do any of that. And by the way, recently, and this is part of the record, when the county engineer was sued and was found liable, the county paid that liability from general funds.
But counsel, if I understand based on the question that Justice Piper just asked, he could dip into this fund to pay for liability incurred in the course of constructing a highway, clearing a highway, designing a highway, etc.
Yes, he could.
Okay.
That's not the fact situation.
I understand that. Okay. So it's not exclusively dollars that only go to the establishment and maintaining, it's also the consequence.
And or the planning, and it's the front end and the back end, absolutely.
Front end, middle end, and consequential end here all can be funded by these tax dollars.
The key is it a highway purpose, and then?
And presumably salaries within the office are also prorated based on their relationship to the duties associated
yes,
with highway and bridge, etc.
Thank you, Mr. excuse me.
Just
excuse
one
me.
Follow-up, please. So, and you're also saying that reasonably, if it was presented and he could prorate the bill based on an allocation of dollars to duties, so to speak, that would be a reasonable thing to have happen.
It would, and the problem with the liability pool of multi-counties is they can't. They've obliterated the record because they don't assess counties on a risk basis at all.
And dollars matched against total dollars, in other words, operating dollars for the engineer's office is against total dollars, you do not think is an accurate assessment tool?
Well, the statute uses the terms of art. Risk exposure and loss experience. And those are highly defined Department of Insurance. If the legislature wants to change the statute and say you can use number of vehicles, that'd be fine. But Corso's
but
never
they use
done.
Dollars here. They use that you're mm-hmm. you're this much of our right. you cost this much of the big picture of county expenditures, therefore you're going to pay this certain related proportion of risk here.
So that equates a dump truck to a sheriff's high-speed vehicle, a sheriff.
Well, but if we want to get into that, mm-hmm. the sheriff has a bunch of immunities that the engineer doesn't.
Right.
A lot of their accidents are going to happen in response to a duty call, or I forget the magic words, but we have a case that I dissented in that says, you know, doesn't matter if you're responding to the bell, mm-hmm. you're immune. You don't have the same kind of immunities for the highway workers, and I would guess proportionately, and that is just a guess, that the exposure of the engineer's employees is probably greater than anybody else that works for the highway or works for the county.
Well, here's the easy answer. Neither of us know. How come if the statute says they should undertake that analysis, they didn't do it? And again, if they would do that and say, engineer, this proportion is related to highway purposes, we would say, okay, we will pay that. The problem is with the risk pool, multi-county, they don't keep those records. They don't do it that way. It's just everybody, we're going to defend each other. So they've obliterated the ability.
They have a contribution amount that they expect Knox County to put into that major pool.
Not based upon risk exposure or loss experience. That's the problem.
What's the basis?
I don't know, and they won't put that in the record. That's their burden, and that's what we kept on saying. Do it that way, and we're okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leggett. Mr. Lubbers.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, first I'd like to introduce Mr. Gage Gosnell, who is with me at the council table. He is counsel for Amicus Curiae, County Commissioners Association, and Corsa. I'd like to take my time this morning to focus on two things which we think are the dispositive points in this case. And if I have any time after that, I'd like to respond to a couple of questions that the court raised with Mr. Leggett. The first point I want to make is that we believe that the commissioners have very clear statutory authority to do exactly what they did here, and that is to charge the motor vehicle license fee and fuel tax funds controlled by the engineer for his office's share of the cost of funding the county's participation in Corsa.
Counsel, how did you arrive at the amount of dollars that Knox County contributes to this big pot?
First of all, Your Honor, I'll tell you that in the record you would find that with Mr. Brooks's affidavit in the trial court proceedings. The answer is that the engineer's share was based on three things. One is buildings, proportionate share of buildings used by the engineer versus the buildings of the county. Secondly, the number of vehicles. Thirdly, the number of employees. I might mention that you've heard this morning that there is no apportionment based on exposure. That is exposure.
the number of vehicles you have, the number of employees you have, the number of buildings and the value of buildings you have really is what exposure is.
How did you determine, or the county, their portion contributed to the larger multi-county pot of funds?
Largely the same way, with one exception. When you got to as far as CORSA determining Knox County's share,
yes.
is your question? Largely the same way as far as exposure is concerned.
So it was compared to other counties?
Yes, exactly.
And did it take into consideration the risk and liability history of that county before it entered into this kind of a insurance arrangement?
Yes. CORSA, let me answer that by going to two levels. When CORSA is figuring out its cost and its premium to charge its 62 counties, it does use loss experience because that's a big number, that's a big sample, and what the actuaries tell us is that that's reliable. When the Knox County Commissioners determined the engineer's share of their cost, the loss experience was weighted at zero because the actuaries have said that such a small sample as the engineer's office versus the county would provide is just completely unreliable and to coin a phrase, could just end up with some whacked out numbers. You'd have a bad year and the engineer might be paying 100% of the premium. You have a good year, he might be paying 0% of the premium. So the loss experience was essentially weighted at zero. The other factors were weighted pretty much in the same way for the engineer versus Knox County as Knox County versus the other 61 counties in CORSA.
If I understand correctly, the appellant raised the issue of the assessment, the amount of the assessment apportioned to them. They raised that as an assignment of error in the Court of Appeals, did they not? They said that you didn't make it a proper risk assessment and figure in all the factors appropriately.
I think that came up in the Court of Appeals. I think that's correct.
They referred it as assignment of error number 3, and they said that the Court of Appeals found that the risk assessment allocation was to be looked at on an abuse of discretion basis, and they held that the abuse of discretion required an unreasonable, arbitrary, or unconscionable attitude, and they specifically found that the commissioners did not exhibit that and therefore affirmed it on an abuse of discretion basis. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, Your Honor. I think what the Court of Appeals was saying, at least this is what we think the Court of Appeals was saying, is that the terms loss exposure or risk exposure and loss experience aren't defined. They are not entirely terms of art, but they have certain insurance industry meanings. But there's not only one way to determine those things. I think what the Court of Appeals was saying was that the manner that the commissioners chose to use in this case was a reasonable way to determine how much the engineer owed of Ross County's premium, and that was not an abuse of discretion. That's how it gets past the abuse of discretion.
And if I understand appellant's argument correctly, correctly, they are still maintaining that risk allocation was not properly done. It couldn't be based on the factors that the commissioners based it on. And so I believe they're arguing we still should reverse that on an abuse of discretion standard?
That may be their argument, Your Honor. I honestly have not heard any other formula proposed by the appellants, and I haven't really heard anything other than the appellant simply saying this isn't right.
I've understood their argument to be that it's not for a highway purpose. It hasn't been specifically assigned to that. And it seems to be couched in the constitutional claim that these are highway dollars that are to be expended by the engineer for those purposes. And had there been some pro-rata distribution of the risk for highway workers or others, we may not be here. And that's my understanding. Can you respond to that claim?
Certainly. Let me speak to the constitutional question, because it is one that has been emphasized, and I think we need to talk about it. The gist of the appellant's argument, I believe, is that the highway dollars, for shorthand, let me just call them highway dollars, can be spent only for highway purposes. And the engineer, the rest of his argument is that only the engineer has the discretion to determine what a highway purpose is. Well, I must say that I've read Section 5A a lot recently. And I don't see anything, and pardon me if this sounds flippant, but I don't see anything in Section 5A that says, and the county engineer shall determine what a highway purpose is. 5A says, gives you a list of highway uses, construction and so on, so forth, and then says, and other statutory highway purposes. I read that to infer that the definition or the enumeration of highway purposes is to be made by the folks who write statutes. That is the General Assembly in this state. And I suggest to you further that the General Assembly did exactly that in Section 315.12. And said that costs of operation are statute by definition. It's a statute. By definition, costs of operations are statutory highway purposes.
Counsel, would you say that the entire cost of operation for the engineer's office would be statutorily classified as a highway purpose or a prorated portion? Since you would concede, I'm sure, that there's other duties non-related to highway purposes.
There certainly are non-highway duties, Your Honor. No argument there.
So why would they get, if we assume you're correct, that, you know, the legislature can define this, they put some statutes out there that says you're allowed to use these dollars for the office maintenance and et cetera. How do you justify the whole bill being submitted?
I think the determination is to be made, first of all, by the county commissioners. I think that...
What determination?
The determination of how much of the engineer's share is to be paid out of highway money and how much out of general fund money.
What would you use to make that determination?
Well, let me get to that. I think the determination is the commissioners. I think the range is between 66 2/3% and 100%, because that's what the statute says. And I think the determination is to follow the statutory framework in Section 2744.081 and 0.08, and that is to look at loss experience and risk exposure. It is possible,
but
that
you weren't looking at loss and risk exposure in determining the bill.
Oh yes, we were. Yes,
you
we were.
If you classify, taking into account how many buildings, how many employees,
yes,
and how many vehicles they have, that's what you classify as risk exposure.
That's risk exposure.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So you would use that basis to determine what their prorated, Out of the $23,000 bill that they received, am I correct? Is $23,000
yeah, for
and
both
some
years.
Change?
Yeah.
You billed them 100% for their share out of the tax dollars.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yes.
Continue.
Well, if. I mean, I'm not going to represent to this court that 100% is the correct figure every time. I'm going to represent to this court that it was a correct figure based on the way we did it. If the engineer had some suggestions to make as to how to apportion that, I think the commissioners would have been happy to listen.
Well, counsel, doesn't the engineer has, you seem to suggest that the engineer has no discretion in determining what is highway purpose and what is not. But although it may not be specifically put into the Constitution, we know that elected officials have authority to perform functions of the office. And would you not agree that definition of what is or is not a highway purpose is within the purview of that office?
Oh, Your Honor, I agree completely that the engineer has discretion with respect to the matters that are within his realm of expertise. I think he should be deferred to if you're asking how to build a road, clean a ditch, that kind of thing. I don't think that his discretion extends to the interpretation of what's a statutory highway purpose. I don't think he has any more competence to determine that than the commissioners do.
So if he's presented with any bill from the county commissioners, that is automatically to be paid, is that what you're saying?
Oh, I think the commissioners are entitled to make the initial determination as to how much he owes.
Counsel, who's responsible for the misspending of those tax dollars, the gas and license plate? If they were misspent, if an audit showed that they were used for purposes other than statutory or constitutional purposes, who would be on the hook for that?
Well,
whose office would they audit?
I suspect that what the state auditor would probably do would issue a finding that
recovery.
For recovery that the fund that got the money should repay it back to the highway.
Well, fund. In your case, you're saying because the fund's in existence, but, you know, let's not even qualify it with that. If that money was misspent and there was a finding for recovery, would the county pay it, or would the engineer's office be on the hook?
If the money was misspent, then the finding would be to restore the money to that fund, and it would. I guess
it's the office holder's responsibility. The engineer here.
Well, the engineer would be the beneficiary, right? I may be misunderstanding your question.
I'm saying if the engineer's office is audited
because they're
the recipient
I'm
of those
sorry.
Dollars, if there is an audit that finds that they are misspent.
I'm sorry. Yes, Your Honor. I just flipped your question.
I'm not saying the commissioners are audited. I'm talking about the engineer.
Sure. If the engineer spent it for a bad purpose, then he would. There would be a finding for recovery against his office and perhaps him.
So the responsibility for those funds, the recipient, the receipt, and the expenditure are statutorily placed upon the engineer here.
Sure, within statutory limitations, specifically 315.12, which says that you have to spend 2/3 of on costs of operation. 315.14, I believe, says that you have to pay the entire engineer's salary out of gas tax money.
Right. It's orchestrated in a way to have some discretion built into it, obviously, because of the expertise and the qualifications of the engineer, but also to be structured in a way that they make sure that certain costs are covered, that it is not discretionary, that this is where this money needs to go. I just have a concern here, and I'm not saying that I don't think, one way or the other, what the engineer's responsibility is for self-insurance or to cover or whether it should be. I just have a problem with a bill going directly for this amount of money with the expectation that 100% of the exposure for the engineer's office is to be derived from a pool made up of gas tax and license fee money when it's statutorily restricted pool of funds.
My only response to that, Your Honor, is the same as before. I think the range is between 2/3 and 100%. I think the Scioto County case that was actually a local government fund case makes it clear that the determination is to be made and the determination can be made, I should say, of up to 100%. Now, if there is an abuse of discretion standard, and that's what the Court of Appeals said, then that standard would certainly be appropriate for a test of that allocation.
Thank you, Mr. Lubbers. Mr. Liggett, you've gone over your time by 7 minutes. Despite that, you may still have 30 seconds to.
Very briefly, Your Honor, 2 points. To address Justices Lanziger's and O'Connor's point in the end about discretion, the practical facts of this case is Engineer Henry will not take up his pen to sign the paper that orders the auditor to make the expenditure. Therefore, they have requested, notwithstanding their determination that it's a highway purpose, they have requested some sort of order that forces him to take his pen up and sign the sheet. That's a mandamus. That's him exercising his discretion. Second, to Justice O'Connor's point requesting about the risk assessment, what I heard, and I think correctly from the record, is when CORSA looks at 62 counties, they do a risk assessment. Last year we paid $1 million, therefore we need $1 million this year. But when we did not get the answer of how do they divide it between the 62 counties, it was CORSA that directed Knox County to divide it on buildings, employees, and vehicles, because CORSA divides it on buildings, men, and vehicles to its individual counties, not on risk exposure. They don't use the statute for risk exposure. They never made a finding for highway purpose in any event, and they've never shown any authority to justify reaching back prior years to use current highway funds to reimburse a general.
Counsel, when there's a dispute between the commissioners and the engineer as to whether or not it's a highway purpose, and do you agree that the Constitution doesn't specifically say it's the engineer's call?
I agree with that.
All right. If you agree with that, then isn't the correct way under our system to resolve that is to ask the courts to make the final determination?
Well, I don't disagree with the general principle. That's why we're here. But the problem is 60 years worth of history. It's never been resolved. And that was the Madden court's decision in the footnote. This court needs to, we're squarely in the Madden footnote. And the point I was trying to make about the facts, the real stance today, if the commissioners had the discretion to make it and get the payment made, they wouldn't be here. They sued because the engineer will not write the voucher because in his oath of office, he said, I'm defending the Constitution. Okay. You didn't follow.
So, but you have a legitimate dispute between two sets of county officials. And isn't the way to resolve a dispute about the proper interpretation of the Constitution to then go to court to resolve it?
Depending on who you start with. And I think that's the issue. In our view, it's an abuse of discretion standard against the engineer. They need to show that he abused his discretion, not some other way around.
Okay. Another way to resolve it would be through mediation. This case seems that when you say we're willing to take the allocation that goes to those, you know, that apply to the costs that apply to highway construction or whatever activities, I assume there's not been any attempt to mediate here. Is that correct?
No, but the record below shows exactly that. The engineer has said, you know, show me what portion's a highway. If there's nothing here, you've not even bothered. Why would I pay that? How can I pay that? How can you pay that? And so they sued us. We're here after 60 years of this debate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.